out there where the moon hits the water, out there where your lips in mine. I don't know where we are, cause somebody stole the street signs. I'ma take my sweet time, cause I could go on forever, but shoot it right a shotgun, yeah. All our friends are probably making plans, baby. Yeah, but we already got one. We'll be riding roads that don't nobody go down. A little trip through the countryside. These 38s making the world go round. I hit a curve just to make you slide. The only light is a flashing yellow. The only thing that I want is your kiss. I'm loving nothing to do with you, baby. Just riding roads on a night like this.
Michelle Franzen. The White House has pulled today's signing of the executive order to dismantle the Department of Education, multiple sources tell ABC News, and added that there is concern among top administration officials about the blowback that President Trump's order would receive, including questions on how the directive would impact the school lunch program. ABC's Alex Perchet says Congress also needs to be on board.
Even if Linda McMahon, the Department of Education secretary, wants to follow through, in order to dissolve this agency, he needs an act of Congress, and they need 60 votes. They need Democrats to be on board with this. And frankly, there is no Democratic support that we're aware of right now.
President Trump announcing on social media he's giving a 30-day reprieve on tariffs for Mexico after speaking with Mexico's president. That delay until April 2nd is for those participating in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Parts of the country still cleaning up following severe storms this week. Airports making up for a backlog of cancellations. This is ABC News. Brokered talks on phase two of a Gaza ceasefire deal now halted with concerns that fighting could resume in the war-torn enclave after Israel blocked aid.
Israel and Hamas exchanging threats as talks stall on phase two of the Gaza ceasefire. Israel warning it may restart the war and blocking the entry of humanitarian aid into Gaza. Those controversial moves meant to pressure Hamas to accept a U.S.-backed plan to release more of the 58 hostages. But Hamas not budging, warning blocking aid may endanger the lives of the hostages. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Severe storms swept through the south last night and yesterday, including fierce winds with twisters reported in both Texas and Oklahoma. That system now moving into the mid-Atlantic states and East Coast today, with millions of residents remaining under storm alerts. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin voters go to the polls April 1st to select a new state Supreme Court Justice and state superintendent of public instruction. Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin on how many people are paying attention.
Not many. So 39% say they've heard or read a lot about the Supreme Court race. 42% say some, and 19% admit they've heard nothing at all. On the superintendent's race, though, it's half that. Only 18% that have heard a lot, 47% a little, and 35% nothing at all.
The Supreme Court candidates are Waukesha County Court Judge Brad Schimmel and Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. In the superintendent's race, incumbent Jill Underly is opposed by challenger Brittany Kinzer. Republican lawmakers are pushing to impose financial penalties on Milwaukee Public Schools and the city of Milwaukee if there aren't school resource officers in MPS buildings. Greenfield Representative Bob Donovan.
In June of 2023, Wisconsin Act 12 was signed into law that included requiring MPS to have at least 25 SROs in schools beginning January 1st of 2024. Yet 430 days passed the original deadline, that requirement has not yet been fulfilled.
Under the bill, MPS must cover 75% of the costs of complying with the officer requirement, and the city will take care of the other 25%. A Racine County teenager is under arrest in connection with the death of his mother.
A 15-year-old boy arrested Tuesday night remains in custody as police in the village of Caledonia investigate the woman's death. The teenager surrendered without incident. The preliminary investigation indicates the victim was stabbed and also sustained blunt force trauma. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Quiet weather returns in our Real Country 1430 forecast, along with warmer temperatures, becoming mostly sunny throughout the day. Today, highs upper 30s, west winds at 5 to 15. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows near 18. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs mid-30s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas girls playoff basketball tonight as the Lady Panthers face Colfax. The AdventHealth Panther preview will be at 6:45, tip-off at 7 tonight here on WRDN.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And this morning, trade uncertainty and what the trade uncertainty might mean to U.S. economic growth are being traded again this morning. We'll talk about managing risk in these conditions and jump on some regulatory issues with leaders from Helena Agri Enterprises at Commodity Classic.
Live after the classic that keeps on giving via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Jody Lawrence from Strategic Trading Partners. Then it's Sean McCarty and Brad Shaver from Helena. Later, Helena agronomist Derek Emmerine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right. Thank you much, Davis. Yeah, back to the Commodity Classic. Well, one more time.
Yeah, baby.
One more time this week. We collected what I feel like is some great information while we're out there, so we need to make sure that, we need to make sure that we get it out there for everyone to take in. Mm-hmm. And the conversation with Jody Lawrence, I think, is really important because we talk about managing risk in uncertain times, and here we are. That's where we find ourselves, and Jody's got some counsel on how to do that. And then, man, oh, man, I did not – I when I started the conversation with Sean McCarty and Brad Shaver, I had an idea of some of the things that we were going to talk about, but – by the time I was done with the conversation, I was like, holy smokes, this is some important thing when it comes to chemistry registration at EPA, dealing with the with the Endangered Species Act, things like that. That's what we got into with Sean and Brad, and then talking about, what did we learn from the 2024 growing season? How are we going to use that going forward into 2025 is what I talked about with Derek Emmerine. So obviously some good information coming your way on today's AgriTalk.
Wow. Meaty. Yeah. It's a meaty show, I would say, today.
There you go. I like it.
It's all good stuff. Prime cuts. Yeah.
Hey, it quit snowing.
Oh, good.
The wind is basically gone. Okay. It's 35 degrees here in Denver, and we're heading for a high of 42.
Wow. Pretty beautiful. Decent day.
It's gorgeous, man.
We're at 36. It's mostly sunny, but it's pretty bright out there. Headed for 47. I don't know. We had flashes for the potential of a 7 handle coming into Monday and Tuesday. 60-ish over the weekend here. Oh, baby. Hang a 7 on it, and I'm good to go.
Here it comes. Break out the Speedo. Yep. Look out, everybody.
Woo-hoo.
Yep. Yep. Here comes Davis. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Let's get to the news.
Well, having said that, the National Weather Service says a storm system will continue to bring areas of heavy snow, gusty to high winds, and critical fire weather from the Sierras through the central and southern plains through Friday. Gusty winds are expected today into Friday along the Appalachians through the mid-Atlantic and into southern New England behind a strong cold front moving off the east coast. Chip, we've got a daily sale here. 20,000 metric tons of soybean oil for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year. Didn't we report a similar sale? Was that yesterday or maybe earlier this week?
I think it was yesterday. Yeah, absolutely. You know, a couple of things going on there. When you take a look at the Malaysian palm oil market and the prices that are on that, and then look at how, quote-unquote, cheap soybean oil is here out of the States, we should be seeing some demand. And mm-hmm. you know, maybe this is just some front-running ahead of the actual implementation of any tariffs.
Yeah. Well, Brent crude fell below $70 per barrel for the second consecutive day, marking its lowest level since 2021 on fears of a potential tariff trade war and concerns about overproduction by OPEC plus nations. Chip, some demand in China is beginning to be questioned just a little bit on the crude oil front there too. Meanwhile, WTI, the West Texas Intermediate, let's go to the May, down 37 cents presently at $65.54.
Yeah, I think there's some general economic concern out there, too, of what the tariffs might do to the economic activity. And I think that's having a negative impact on the crude oil market.
Well, private companies added just 77,000 jobs in February, falling well short of the 148,000 expected, according to ADP. This marks the smallest increase since July and raises concerns over potential economic slowdown amid President Trump's tariff policies. Trade, transport, and utility sectors shed 33,000 jobs. Investors now await Friday's non-farm payrolls report for further insights. But, Chip, is it fair to say we're in a period of kind of trimming some fat here right now? Maybe we shouldn't expect the jobs number to come in as expected.
I think expectations need to be lowered on the job numbers. With the, we got to look at what's happening at the borders.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one thing that we need to look at, and there are other issues, of course. But when President Trump was talking about tariffs during his address, he said, "Listen, there's going to be a transition period. There's going to be some tough." Some tough times. Yeah. Well, I think that, we could be saying the same thing about the jobs market.
Yeah. We've been critical of the jobs reports, though, for for reporting on jobs growth when most of them are government jobs that have been added there. And I don't expect we're going to see a whole lot of government jobs added here in the near future at all.
That is exactly
just
right.
A thought. President Trump is reportedly considering exempting certain agricultural products from tariffs imposed on Canada and Mexico, with USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins telling Bloomberg, quote, everything is on the table. Rollins specifically mentioned potash and other fertilizers as examples of products that could potentially receive exemptions. The president did announce a one-month tariff exemption for automakers importing vehicles from Mexico and Canada for those automakers that are in compliance with the USMCA.
That's one of the things that makes this difficult. It is a moving target on which products are going to be tariffed and which are not. And we said it earlier this week. We need to have some patience and let this settle out before we really try to put some analysis on what it means.
Yep, agreed. Well, lawmakers are reportedly close to a bipartisan top-line funding agreement. However, debate continues over a stopgap measure to extend funding beyond March 14, with House Republicans planning to propose a stopgap through September 30. Democrats prefer a shorter extension to complete appropriations work. And Chip, Mexico's Senate approved the constitutional reform banning cultivation of genetically modified corn on Wednesday. A week after the lower house approved the measure, the reform must now be approved by the local legislature of at least 17 of the country's 32 states. Brazil is negotiating with Japan to restart beef exports after a ban in 2012 due to bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or BSE. According to Southern Ag Today, despite Brazil's previous negligible market share, its return could disrupt U.S. beef exports to Japan, a vital market where U.S. beef currently leads with 43% of total imports. Over to you, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yeah. There's all kinds of potential changes coming, and we highlighted just a few of them there. Man, oh, man. Lots happening. Okay, we're heading back out to Denver, Colorado, for a conversation with Jody Lawrence, Strategic Trading Advisors. We were in the Helena Agri Enterprises booth when we had that conversation with Jody.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
The National Pork Board cares about your farm's future. New grant opportunities are available to help you enact innovative risk management solutions on your farm to help manage risk in times of uncertainty. Solutions that can secure a profitable and sustainable future for your farm. With technical and financial assistance to implement practices such as cover crops, conservation tillage, edge of field and perennial grass buffers, and more. Simply request your Pork Cares Farm Impact Report to explore funding support for these practices. Get started today at porkcares.org.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
When I got out...
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compure Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compure.com. Compure Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us, and a big thank you to Helena Agri Enterprises for making it possible for us to bring some extended coverage from Commodity Classic in Denver. Really appreciate it. With that in mind, let's go ahead and make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us right now, Josh Byford. He is the seed director for Helena Agri Enterprises. Josh, it's good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. Good to see you.
All right. Man, I'm telling you, there's no bigger decision than picking the right seed. What are some of the big issues that you're talking about with farmers this year?
Well, in today's production agriculture space, there's no shortage of complexity, whether it be from the consolidation efforts that are going on across the country to the ever-changing landscape and trait platforms that are, you know, have to make critical decisions on. Information flows much more abundantly and even at a faster pace today than it ever has.
Yeah.
Being able to take all that information and utilize it to make the best decision on the farm becomes really, really critical.
Yeah, tell me more about Helena's role in the seed business.
Yeah, so Helena's been in the seed business for quite some time now. We've taken an approach to partner with, you know, those global R&D manufacturers so that we can in turn help our customers make the best decision on their farms, regardless of, you know, trait platforms or technology platforms. We want to find them to find the best fit for their acre.
All right.
We then are able to take that from a local level with our local sales representatives and utilize local test plots such as future plots that help us to identify, hey, what's going to be on the farm next year and in the next 2 to 3 years so that we can place those on the farm.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So what are the seed programs at Helena the farmers need to think about?
Well, we've had a lot of really, really good success utilizing our agri-intelligence platform to really help extract the maximum benefit out of that bag of seed that our customers are purchasing, whether that is through placement on right product, right acre, or even as you go into seeding rates or variable seeding rates, utilizing a data-driven approach through our agri-intelligence platform has proven to be really, really successful.
Excellent. Josh, where can listeners go for more information?
As always, HelenaAgri.com. Or visit your local Helena representative for more information.
Fantastic, Josh. Thank you. That is Josh Byford, seed director for Helena Agri Enterprises. All right, let's have a conversation on what's going on markets with Jody Lawrence, Strategic Trading Advisors. Jody, it is good to see you again, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you, and glad to be back on the air, and especially a big event like this. I tried to cover as many booths as I could before the grand opening, and there's a lot of square footage here.
There certainly is. It is a big meeting and a big group here. Jody, when we talk about markets, these are some of the most unique conditions that we've been in for marketing and making marketing decisions just because of the unknowns that are out there. How do you deal with it? How do you even keep up?
That's been the hardest part, and last week really is the microcosm of, unfortunately, what I believe we're going to see, maybe not for all 4 years, but certainly until there is some traction gained in the trading, or in the trade platforms and what their, you know, negotiations and everything going on. It's so hard. What's funny, and this is certainly not taking a political jab at anybody, but one of the tweets that I read about the whole thing was, in the previous administration, you knew news was only coming out from 9 to 5.
Oh yeah,
because that was the only time they knew he was awake.
Yeah.
And now it's a 24-hour news cycle because apparently he's, you know, he might be on the phone with Z at 2 a.m. our time, and you have no idea. It's 24-hour day.
24 hours a day, 8 days a week is what it is. Yeah. What it feels like right now, Jody. And it, how does that impact your decision-making on risk management? I mean, do you feel like you have to be a little quicker to get that downside protection covered just because there isn't clarity in the outlook?
In all the meetings we've done this year, what we are really, the message we're trying to get across to every farmer is the margins are so small this year, it's time to simplify everything.
Okay.
And going from, you know, 21, 22 and a half to 23, when there was a lot of margin for error, you could miss a nickel, you could miss a dime, and you were still making plenty of money. But now we're telling people, let's make sure that you are selling rallies, because we've had rallies even in these bear markets, especially since the January 10th report, had great rallies to sell into. Now, are they where we want them to be at $5.50 corn and $14 beans? No, but they're the rallies that we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then have your orders in at night, because we just talked about the sheer volatility in the 24-hour news cycle. You have to look at it, and you know, it's hard. We understand it, but it's kind of hard to get the big picture. The overnight electronic markets are open three times longer than the Board of Trade day session.
Yeah.
And everything, you're getting more and more volatility simply because it's raining or not raining in Argentina. Something comes up with Russia, Ukraine, you know, Australia. You just pick any number of places where our news and our prices are being affected, and that's what we see.
You know, one of the things that I've always talked about, Jody, is making sure that you're there before the market gets there.
Right.
With your price orders or whatever it is, to make sure that an opportunity, even if it happens in the blink of an eye, that you're there to take advantage of it. The other thing is, you can't let all the noise affect your decision making. I mean, you got to stay consistent in what you are using to make those marketing decisions, right?
Right. And that comes into the other two things we're telling them about. Have your orders in, pick a spot, and have it in. Because the odds of anybody being at the perfect place at the perfect time to hit their price, get a hold of their merchandiser or their buyer, and sell it at that time are so small, because you know your price could get hit in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then human nature takes over and you say, oh, my price got hit, but now it's 10 cents lower. Yeah. I'll just wait for it to go back. How many nickels and dimes cost quarters and dollars over the course of 23? And that's what we're encouraging everybody to do. Have your orders in, and don't get greedy, because this is not the season to get greedy that, hey, it's getting close, the market's rallying, and I'm going to jump it up 10 cents. Then you never, potentially never get a fill.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Tell me about the spring. Get us out past the prospective plantings report.
Okay.
What do you expect from this corn market and the bean market?
We're going to, obviously, the March 31st report is not going to shed a lot more light than the Ag Outlook Forum did last week. We expect it to be right around 94. They may tick 100,000 acres one way or the other on corn and 84 on beans. But once you get past that, you know, we've got two great unknowns: trade policy, what's going to happen in D.C., and you tell me what the April-May weather is, and I'll tell you whether we have 96 million acres or we have potentially 93.
Okay.
I was in Lincoln this week and met with kind of the western section for NOAA's chief meteorologist, and he sees a lot of similarities to 2019.
Uh-huh.
And 2019 was wet. We were talking about that with the Northwest Indiana or Northeast Indiana and the Ohio guys, and I can make a really good case if we lost 5 million acres in a prevent plant situation like that, where we could easily, the corn balance sheet is a lot tighter than everybody thinks, but 2 million, think about it this way, 2 million acres is 360 million bushels, whereas a half a bushel off yield is only about 45 million bushels.
Right, right. I mean, the acreage change that we might see could change things in a heartbeat. There is absolutely no question about it. And the market's going to be sensitive to 2 or 3 million acres moving in and out of play because of spring weather.
Yeah, the way we always look at it, and it really is held true. Every 250 million bushels of corn.
Yep.
Which, you know, when this is basically 1.5 million acres, that it's going to move the market 20 or 30 cents in whatever direction you add or subtract that 250 million bushels. So if corn's at 475 and we deduct 250 million bushels from that, 2.1 billion bushel carry out that I think I saw in that, you know, down to a 1.9 or a 1.8. Then we have a $5 corn, legitimate discussion we can have the next time we talk.
Yeah.
So, and then part of the follow-up for the gentleman that I talked to in Lincoln was not only the eastern corn belt on how it's setting up with the weak La Nina, it's the western corn belt that they're coming out of the driest
Right. Right.
You know, winter they've had. And the craziest thing, living in Nashville, Nashville has had more snow
yeah.
than Omaha and Lincoln
exactly.
combined. How
exactly.
How does that happen?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
Jody,
something's got to be wrong.
Jody, it's good to talk to you again, man.
All right, Chip. Thank you.
You bet. Jody Lawrence, Strategic Trading Advisors. Come on back to Commodity Classic. We're with Helena here in Denver.
Want a great harvest this fall? Then you gotta start strong this spring with Great Plains hybrid and vertical tillage equipment. Break up residue, prep your seed bed, and give your soil the best start possible with a Great Plains TurboMax, Velocity, or TerraMax. Spring won't wait, and neither should you. Find your perfect tillage tool at GreatPlainsAg.com or visit your local Great Plains dealer today and get ready to grow. Great Plains, your best spring starts here.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Amplify Health by Gunderson welcomes Dr. John Snyder to their family medicine team in Mondovi, now open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Dr. Snyder joins physician assistant Taylor Anderson, seeing patients of all ages from acute care to wellness visits. Call 715-926-1113 today for a same-day or next-day appointment in Mondovi, or video visits are also available for your added convenience. Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is part of Gunderson Tri-County Hospital and Clinics.
Milk markets continue to move lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk down 13 to 17.21, May up down 18 to 17.56, June down 8 to 17.38, July down 3 at 17.84. Live cattle markets and feeder cattle markets are mostly lower today as the trade is still waiting for the cash markets to develop in the live cattle markets. And so the sell-off does continue. Feeder cattle also moving mostly lower with triple-digit losses due to the weakness in the live cattle markets. Hogs, on the other hand, triple-digit gains after it's been announced that the tariffs against Mexico would be paused for another month. Mexico, a critical export market for U.S. hog producers. April live cattle down 15 cents to 196.40. March feeder cattle down $1.87 to 274.22. April hogs up 222 to 86.92. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving up mostly higher. Again, the news that the tariffs against Mexico would be paused for a month is helping to move the grain markets really across the board sharply higher today as well. There's also support coming for the wheat markets from a cheaper dollar. New crop corn up 4.25 to 4.51. New crop beans up 14.5 to 10.24. March wheat, or May wheat rather, now up 7 to 5.55 and a quarter.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are at Commodity Classic in Denver, Colorado. Big thank you to Helena Agra Enterprises for making our extended coverage from Commodity Classic possible. Right now, I want to bring in Sean McCarty. Sean is the Government Affairs Director at Helena. Sean, welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you, Chip.
Glad you're here. And Brad Shaver, Director of Sales and Marketing at Helena. How are you?
Good, Chip. How are you?
Good, good, good. Okay, I want, we, as we talk about some of the governmental issues that are happening, Sean, with the new EPA and even some of the hangover from the old EPA, because of some of the decisions that were made. I mean, it's all very critical for farmers out there. And one thing that I don't think we talk near enough about is the ESA, the Endangered Species Act. Give us some background.
Yeah, so the Endangered Species Act has been around for, you know, over 50 years now. Came along in the early 70s, you know, about the same time that the Environmental Protection Agency was created. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, the registration of all of our pesticides under FIFRA was done by the Department of Agriculture. And so when the EPA was created, they were given the authority to manage those registrations. And there's a section within the endangered species that basically identifies how we protect against unintended takes and jeopardizing any of those species. That's a delicate balance for them to walk. Pesticides, we know, whether it's agricultural or household consumer or whatever, pesticides are there to kill pests,
right?
Whether that's a weed, a disease for a public health crisis, but the EPA is also there to protect the environment, and
right.
So they're always trying to walk that balance of how do we protect the environment from something that's not supposed to be killed, but ensure that we are registering critical tools that are there to protect us.
Exactly. So what are some of the requirements that we need to know about right now?
So we had a big change. One of the steps within the Endangered Species Act and FIFRA requires you to do a consultation. So the EPA is supposed to consult with the National Marine Fisheries and the Fish and Wildlife Services to understand, you know, is there a threat of jeopardy to a species by registering this product, this active ingredient, or re-registering it? Maybe new data has come to light.
Okay.
So they need to go through that consultation process. As we've sent more active ingredients through that process and more have circled through their life cycle, budgets sometimes get cut, staffing shortages, you get over inundated with the workload. And at some point, they fell behind. There was a difference with regard to how we viewed modeling and whether this really would jeopardize the species or whether it was an overly aggressive approach.
Yeah.
And so the EPA stopped doing some of those consultations. And as groups such as environmental groups and anti-pesticide groups saw that, they said, wait a minute. You're required by law to do these consultations, and you're not doing them.
Right.
And so it created a bunch of litigation. And for years and years, we saw continual litigation. And so the EPA, in a settlement in 2023, agreed, okay, we're going to create a work plan that identifies how we navigate this situation, how we protect these species, how we make sure that registering pesticides are taking into account any measures. And so they created a work plan that ended up with the first part was the herbicide strategy, and that's the one that's out there today.
All right, so the herbicide strategy, Brad, how many products does that affect?
Well, today it's a pretty limited number that's been affected by that. When we look at the next 4 or 5 years of the number of products that are going to be coming up for review, re-registration, it's over 200 products.
Oh,
so it's going to have a big impact on us in the next few years.
Okay, so is there a timeline on that, Sean?
Yeah, so it's effective today. We've got one active ingredient out there today that is subject to the full herbicide strategy. There are a number of the products that should go through their 15-year regulatory review period that could be announced at any time during 2025. Also, any product that gets a new registration will be subject to that. So while in 25 it may be only a handful of products, map it out, 26, 27, 28,
yeah.
Dozens will become hundreds,
right.
And then it will become the rule of law.
Right. Okay. So we've been talking about herbicides so far. What about adjuvants? Are they affected by this?
Sure. Well, adjuvants aren't affected by this. What we hope and what we know is that adjuvants can play a key role here and help us mitigate some of these regulatory pressures that we're seeing from this. So whether it's reducing the buffer zones that we have to have, which is kind of the first step to that.
Okay.
You know, the other piece of that is looking at, you know, if we're gonna be limited in the acres that we can spray, because we got a 25% buffer zone, then let's make sure the acres we are spraying that those projects are working the best that they can.
Yep.
So that's where adjuvants really play a big role in this.
Gotcha. How is Helena staying involved in this?
Sure. Yeah, we stay involved in a lot of fronts. Obviously, with Sean and his group, the work that they do, our involvement with groups like CPDA, Crop Life America, and then at the same time, I mean, we're constantly, and this has been, we've been doing this for years,
yeah.
Chip, is we're constantly looking at these, how do we make products work better? And we're constantly bringing new technology to the market, our research and development efforts. I think we're leading the way on a lot of that from these products that we're launching, whether it's Cohort, brand new product we launched this year, even to products that have been on the market for a long time with, you know, millions of acres of use like Grounded. You know, we're still continuing to invest in those products as well.
Yeah. You know, just from a casual observer's point of view, I guess that's what I would kind of consider myself on all of this. But it feels like the heat has been turned up on this. It's not those that are anti-herbicides, they're turning the heat up on this, aren't they?
They are. I mean, there's a great hunger for transparency.
Yeah.
At the consumer level, across the board, that's not specific to agriculture, that we see that in everyday life, that desire to understand where everything is coming from. The challenge agriculture faces is we're a much smaller percentage of the population,
yeah,
than we were 50 or 100 years ago.
Yep.
And so the ability to make that connection is tougher than it's ever been to reach, right, those people. And so fear
yeah,
impacts a lot of folks.
They want to know.
And they want to know, and they hear pesticide. And again, pesticides,
yeah,
are there to kill things. And they hear that, and there's concern. And so it puts a greater sense of urgency on the industry,
yeah,
to get out and educate and do outreach to ensure that they understand all the benefits, whether that's in agriculture or human health, that, yeah, we're providing by these tools.
Gotcha. Brad, you mentioned CPDA. Yes. What is it,
yes,
and what's their goal?
Well, CPDA stands for the Council of Producers and Distributors of Agrotechnology.
Okay.
So it's an advocacy group for the industry. It's an advocacy group for the growers,
okay,
looking out for our best interests, trying to help us as an industry navigate these regulatory environment that we're in. So they represent a large number of manufacturers, producers, and again, distributors. I think I read something, Sean, some of our members of CPDA members make up some like 80% of the inert ingredients. Kind of your not traditional active ingredient representation there, but it's a lot of adjuvants, there's a lot of inert ingredients that go into every single product.
Absolutely.
Made, nutritionals, bioscience products. So that's what CPDA is made of. I think their goal there is just to provide that, again, that voice for the industry, that voice for the grower in Washington. They do a lot from education standpoint, training, and overall collaboration.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Sean, start with you on this one. Tell us about some of the issues that you're lobbying for state, federal levels.
Pick a state, Chip.
Yeah.
It runs a gamut. I tell you, you've got states that are actively working on pesticide restrictions and bans. And in certain areas, we may say, okay, that doesn't affect me, but we've got a lot of areas where the urban-rural divide is,
yep,
is starting to get into areas that it didn't historically exist.
Yep.
And so it's impacting your ability to use critical tools. So we're looking at that. We're also doing a lot of positive things when it comes to workforce development, especially in rural areas. Supply chain resilience has been a big thing. How do we make sure that our supply chains are resilient when factors like COVID or something else pop up, that we don't hinder the American producer?
Yeah.
And that also assists with our workforce development on the labor front. Rural communities, from a population standpoint, have seen a decline, and so how do we boost populations there, provide better qualities of life? And so working with state governments to try and increase efforts there.
Okay.
I'd say the last one would be PFAS, and that's,
okay,
not an agricultural,
yep,
issue, but,
yep,
that's an everybody issue. And really,
everybody's thinking about it and talking about it now.
It is, and what we've got to make sure we do is take all the information into account, make responsible decisions, try to make science-based decisions, not emotional decisions, that we don't do something that causes irreparable harm, not only to the ag industry, but to a lot of industries.
Gotcha. Stay with you, Sean, here. What are you watching under the Trump administration?
Everything. I just don't have any answers. Obviously this week, we facing a potential increase in tariffs coming from some of our trading partners. We've looked at a farm bill that is in its second extension.
Yeah.
A ton of priorities with regard to preemption of pesticide regulation, biostimulants, increasing access to technical service providers so that we have more aid to the farmers. So a lot of priorities we're trying to get through. Just
okay.
The farm bill is great, but we got a couple other big things we got to get through first.
Yeah, no doubt. Brad, real quick, just give me some advice for growers that that are watching these regulatory changes.
Yeah, stay engaged.
Yeah.
Ask a lot of questions. Stay in touch with your Helena rep. Sign up for our FieldLink newsletter. Listen to AgriTalk.
There you go.
Listen, just everything you can do. We've got to stay educated. We've got to stay, we can't be passive about it. We've got to make sure that we're staying engaged.
Good conversation, important conversation, you guys. Thank you so much for making time for us and for sponsoring us here at Commodity Classic, all right?
I appreciate the time.
You've had Sean McCarty, Government Affairs Director, Brad Shaver, Director of Sales and Marketing at Helena Agri Enterprises. Of course, you can go to helenaagri.com for more information on Helena. We're going to be right back. Talk with National Agronomist Derek Amerine next here on AgriTalk.
Okay, antibodies.
We're definitely going to be late to the concert. I feel like we should be there by now.
I'm just taking a little detour. I got to fill up my gas tank, and I know this place a couple towns over where the gas is cheaper.
Are you serious? We're going to be late for the concert because you're driving out of the way for cheaper gas? Just use Upside.
What's Upside?
Upside is the free cashback app that gets you real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, I can get cash back just for buying the gas I need anyway?
Yes, I use it all the time, and I've made around $200. Now pull over so you can download the Upside app before we miss the concert.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAFFIC25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or as a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. That's code TRAFFIC25.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Looking to get doctor-prescribed medication like Ozempic or Wegovy? Zelte can help you get GLP-1 medications affordably, whether you have insurance and even if you don't. And 100% online. It's simple. Just text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started. Zelte can help you get Ozempic, Wegovy, or Zepbound covered by your insurance company, so you pay as little as $0 for the medication if prescribed. No insurance? No problem. Zelte can ship semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and Zepbound, for as little as $151 a month versus $1,000 plus for name brand medications. Either way, it's high quality medical care, weight loss coaching, and access to game changing medications. All 100% online with Zelte and affordable with or without insurance. So don't wait. Text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started today on your weight loss journey with Zelte. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text ACCEPT to 200-300. That's ACCEPT to 200-300. Text ACCEPT to 200-300.
Side application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Nick Wagner, professional services veterinarian for the livestock team at Neogen, joins us right now. Let's talk about the importance of effectively evaluating and managing water quality. Give us the checklist. What defines quality water for cattle?
Yeah, the quality water, the goal for that in cattle is to be able to provide a source that's free from microbiological contamination, has a neutral pH around 7, contains acceptable mineral levels that are not in excess, contains low total dissolved solids, and does not have any undesirable odors or tastes.
Outstanding. So what should a producer do to evaluate that water quality?
Yeah, so they can start with getting two water samples to be able to analyze them at a lab. And the reason we do two is we do one at the source, and we do a second one at what we call the end of the line, which is more representative of what the cattle are actually consuming, and it provides an understanding of the impact that the water delivery system is having on that water from the source to where the cattle are consuming it.
So what does Neogen offer to help producers manage that water quality?
Yeah, so we have a treatment program with the chemistry chlorine dioxide, which can be used to clean and descale water lines to improve the volume delivered to cattle, to control mineral content, to reduce or eliminate microbiological contamination, and to increase the palatability by eliminating odors and improving taste.
That's fantastic. All right. Thank you, Dr. Wagner. That is Dr. Nick Wagner, professional services veterinarian for the livestock team there at Neogen. Providing high-quality water to your cattle, it is a vital part of your success. To learn more, contact your Neogen representative or visit neogen.com/water-treatment.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, and big thank you to Helena Agri Enterprises for making it possible for us to have some extended coverage from the Commodity Classic. Joining us right now, Derek Emmerine. He's a national agronomist for Helena. And Derek, I hope you're having a good Commodity Classic so far.
I am so far. Just started.
Yeah, just started, but here we are. Exactly. Okay, talk to me about the 2024 growing season. What did you learn?
Sure. So there's a couple things that stick out. You know, for a lot of years we've been tracking what kind of nutrient deficiencies continue to show up, and 24 really wasn't a lot different in that respect. We continue to see potassium, sulfur, boron, magnesium. So things to be aware of. The other thing in a broader sense, we know the markets have been down. Guys are looking for ways to save money. And last year, I know a lot of people may have cut back on fertility, and we still had record yields.
Yep.
And that's great, but going into 25, that's probably something we better keep an eye on, because that's not going to last forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. We took a lot out of the dirt last year. There's no question about it. That checklist of things that people are looking at, it seems like it's getting longer every year.
It does. What we've seen is you know, there's a lot of very good farmers all across the United States, and a lot of them are doing a really good job of taking care of the basics, the NPK, the sulfur. Yeah. But then as we do that, other things start to rear their head.
Exactly. Okay, so for this year, we took a lot out of the soil for in 2024. What are you really keeping an eye on for 25?
So it's going to be the same players. I think the biggest thing, and I know the thought process of the grower is going to be, I got to figure out ways to save money, and totally understand that. But and there may still be opportunities to do that, but we need to do it smartly by looking at data on your farm and make sense. Where can you cut and where can you not afford to cut?
Yep. Data is one of those things that for some people, it just has been a natural progression for them to manage that data and to use it and analyze it. Others, they feel like all they're doing is dumping numbers into a barrel, and how do you manage it after that? But it's so important to do it, isn't it?
It's extremely, extremely important. And the other thing, I'll say, managing that data is important. And we have a lot of people that have soil test data and yield data. Mm-hmm. But as we get into more and more talk about sustainability, we really need – there's not a lot of guys that are doing a great job of keeping application records. And that's something as we move forward, you know, don't know what the future holds, but that's where – keeping records is going to be even more important.
Oh, okay. So you know that as soon as you said sustainability, there's a certain number of people, listeners out there that rolled their eyes.
Absolutely.
They're probably reaching for the knob. I don't care. And here's the thing. It's not that much
more work to keep track of all of this and to collect the data that is needed for these sustainability reports.
Right.
If you don't want to put yourself into a position where you don't have the information that a buyer wants.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, I'm one of those, you know, I get tired of hearing about sustainability as well. But I also, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk recently, I tie it back to the four R's.
Yep.
You know, and we cut back on things, and we need to keep multiple data sets so we know what we did, what kind of impact it had on yield.
Yep.
And a lot of guys do really good at collecting one or two data sets, but not very many are really good at about collecting all the data sets that they need to really understand what's going on.
All right. Have you got a platform that works to do this?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so tell me about it.
It's called our AgriIntelligence platform. We have our own GIS software that we developed in-house. You can look over there. We have the AgriIntelligence wheel. Mm-hmm. So there's multiple products and services that we provide as a part of that. We have the ability through what we call AgriIntelligence Solutions. If a customer wants to go down this path, they can buy all of that on all their acres at a discounted price.
Okay.
And it gives them those services throughout the year.
It's got to be easy to use, or they're not going to use it.
Well, and we do a lot of that for them.
Okay.
So we have people at almost all of our retail locations, and their sole purpose within Helena, we have over 240 employees devoted to AgriIntelligence.
Okay.
To help collect the data, get it to them in a usable form that they can go make decisions off of.
Outstanding. So let's say I'm using it.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to use it
to
make decisions?
So the easiest thing, we've been talking about fertility. Our bread and butter is our product called High Ground. It's a soil fertility management program. We pull geo-reference soil tests, whether grid or zone samples, create recommendations. That's a great place to see where are my fertility levels at? Where do I have room to cut? Where do I not? So that's a great decision-making process. Create a variable rate application off of it if you have the ability. Then in season, we have a program called Extractor. So we can go out, take plant tissue analysis in season, and you get an idea of what's showing up deficient in the plant.
Yep.
Did I go too aggressive on my cuts?
Yep.
Or maybe everything may be sufficient, so maybe there's an opportunity for cuts in the future.
Yep.
And then lastly, we have True Yield. So if you've got a geo-reference yield monitor, we can go after the fact and tell you statistically what nutrients impacted yield the most. So then you've got a planning tool for the next year.
Okay. All right. We got about a minute left.
Yes.
Tell me about the water management services.
Sure. So we have a program called AquaLens.
Okay.
It's been around for a little while. Helena, as you know, is a leader in adjuvants. We know the importance of conditioning water and making sure our ag chem products work as good as they can. So we've had AquaLens spray water out for several years. Guys can go take a water sample of where they source their spray water. We can look for hardness, all the different issues. And the key to that, growers spend more money on ag chem products than they do anything else. And you think about having to do a respray, or you can look at your water and maybe spend $1 or $2 an acre and you save that opportunity from doing a respray.
The stuff works.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The people that I've talked with just absolutely love it. Where can listeners go for more information on all this, Barry?
Go to Helena Agra. And I want to say one more thing. We've also got AquaLens Irrigation, which is brand new this year. So water shortages, all the issues going on, we can analyze your spray water to help you get the most out of that spray water. If that spray water's got sodium, so that's what we do.
That's fantastic. Good stuff. Thank you so much, Derek. That is Derek Amerine. He's National Agronomist for Helena Agra Enterprises. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Come back this afternoon. We got Mike North from EverAg here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content,
You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said, GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200 to $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx users compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and switch to the expensive shampoo with amino acids. Sure, you don't know what those are or why you need them, but it sounds very impressive. And if you switch and save hundreds, you can massage it into your scalp every day. Now, if only you can get people to lean toward your head to smell those aminos. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shampoo. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Tariff troubles dragging on stocks again despite President Trump's latest one-month exemption on